Yo, welcome to the No Repercussions Podcast. I'm your host, Brunson. We got the crew on the line today. The boy, Smitty. What up, Smitty?
What up, what up, what up?
We got the wonderful Tiffany.
Hey, y'all.
We got the boy, King Keys.
Dumbass.
It's always one. Always one, ain't it?
Hotspot, dude.
Take yourself off the... You need a new hotspot? As I said, the boy, King Keys.
Get your up? Key.
Okay.
Go ahead. I got get your now. Words. Get it.
What up, though?
Mr. K, how you doing,
what
sir?
What up, though? I'm good.
And the wonderful Ms. Lake. How you doing, Ms. Lake?
Hey, everybody. Last but not least, it's me.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Everybody doing good? Y'all healthy?
Yeah.
Life's good right now.
That's what's up.
So,
right. Are you trying to be funny?
And bottoms and shit, huh?
We just got done talking about my heart monitor. You don't see I got healthy. The fuck is wrong with you?
Ernie, like, I'm going to get this story one way or another.
Hey, I'm about this content game. I told you that shit.
I got a question for King Key. Do you buy the same weed? Because some weed is more potent than others. I've noticed on the show. Because sometimes your mind be gone on the show, and this must be one of them. Because you show good went up to the mic like, "What up, though?" And
just
like,
hey, and but back, you know
like,
he was
I said it like,
"Hey,"
like,
but you know at? He was extra sexy with it too. He you can see he licked his lips and shit first. He was like,
"Yo."
He had to put his Billy D. Williams voice on.
And then, yeah. And then wait, he looked yeah. like what? Why is he not saying the next person? Like, yeah. Lost. Like, nigga, you ain't saying that.
Yeah, I looked in my corner and I was like, oh shit, I'm muted. Okay. You know. No, you know,
that's a goddamn
it shame. Wasn't the weed. I just forgot that I was unmuted. I was muted. But
marijuana.
It's the weed.
The memory.
It's gonna be this kind of show, right? You're gonna be talking on mute the whole show.
I keep about 4 to 5 strains, you know. And
did you use them all at once?
No, this a medley? Is top shelf. This is top shelf. No, I don't
a medley. Yeah,
you got a weed medley.
I do have two strains. Mix.
What is this, bird's eye?
That I have now.
By bird's eye?
It's vanilla kush and chocolate OG. I like to mix those because they really do taste like their names. But other than that, you know, I just
make it straight. So OG tastes like
the Oreo
what?
Cookie?
I'm sorry?
Is it an Oreo cookie? No, I mean, what's the fucking point of like mixing?
Just for the taste. For the taste.
Okay. So what do you what she's trying to say? Does it taste like an Oreo cookie when you mix the vanilla
it
and chocolate together?
Like, it just tastes like you get the chocolate in one end, and then on the back end, the vanilla may come in.
That nigga
so
literally,
a hot fudge sundae.
He literally explained.
I guess so. It's a chocolate and vanilla taste, you know.
I mean, but what does that taste like?
She just explained chocolate and vanilla the same way you
chocolate and vanilla. I don't know.
Niggas say it just tastes like chocolate and vanilla, but why mix it?
Right. What's the fucking point?
It's just to have hey, some together.
Shit, I'm hot.
You know?
Is it like it chocolate?
Smitty got a point now. Okay. So everybody good, obviously. Apparently.
Don't use a chocolate or the vanilla for our show.
Get some regos. Like
this
you know,
is actually stronger.
Burn some paprika or some shit. Like
I wouldn't do that.
That nigga said I was on some hot spots. I was on Taco Bell and the hot spots.
That nigga, whatever he was on that day, he was gone.
That nigga was gone. You was asleep. You was in autopilot. You was not here for this shit. That nigga said, yeah, the Taco Bell, we need some hot spots. Nigga, who? Hungry ass chili chalupa won't motherfucker who said Taco Bell. All right. Okay. So I'm glad to see everybody beautiful brown faces that y'all happy smiling. So let's get right into it. So I think somebody came up with this question. I'm putting it on him anyway. But listen, you know, we were discussing this question and I want to know, should a man claim a child that he didn't want to have? Granted, he may have laid down with a woman to create this child. But what if he didn't want to keep this child or be a father at this time? So should he claim that child? And I'm going to start off with Mr. K. I'm going to start off with you.
Yes, he should claim. He decided to lay down with her, with the woman, and he needs to claim. That's just, it's too many fathers out there, too many men out there just poking and not claiming. We have too many kids out here just ain't claimed.
Mr. K, what if he makes this claim that I'm not ready to be a father. I don't think we should do this. We were just recently met. maybe we should go towards having an abortion or think about other means than bringing a child that's going to be in this world without love. Do you think still think that man should claim that child?
He should still claim because he has to live with the responsibilities. He made those decisions at the heat of the moment, or they made a decision that was a mutual decision, and you change your mind once something happens that you didn't want to happen, then that's on you. You made that choice. That responsibility is yours now. You can't just go in halfway. I mean, that's not fair to the child to come, and that's not fair to the families involved, and it's not fair to each other.
Okay. Tiffany, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, he absolutely has to claim that child. Like, you chose. I agree, and I assume that everyone would have the same viewpoint, but I'm not sure. You know, I don't know. So you chose to lay down with that woman. You chose to put yourself in a position where a baby could be made. And you have to know that you are responsible now for said kid. Like, if she chooses to have that baby, that's her right. And you are half of that child. So you're responsible for it. Not claiming that child does not mean that it's still not yours, that you don't have another kid out here in the world.
Okay.
So you go on to your next relationship and you're going to say, well, I got a kid, but I don't claim that one because I didn't want it. You scum of the earth.
But is he scum of the earth if he's being a realist to say I'm not the person that should be having a child?
Well, you were the person that should have put on a condom. And if the condom broke, maybe you should have knew who you was fucking before you decided to have sex with said woman and see if she'd go get a plan B. See if there's other options you can explore. You got a lot of other options you can explore that before that woman has that baby.
But I mean, that's what I'm saying. Okay, so what if a man decided to go through those options? Hey, would you take a plan B? No. Are you considering adoption? Would you consider abortion? Those sort of things. And the woman said, no, I'm going to have this baby to fruition. Should a man then, at that point, give up his rights to that child if he doesn't truly want that child?
Is the situation that the condom broke? Because if it wasn't a situation where he was having protected sex and that condom broke, then you knew that it was a risk. You knew it was a possibility for you to have a kid. So you are still responsible.
I would say, I mean, does it really matter? I mean, you did lay down to procreate. Well, you did lay down to procreate one way or the other. Like, you know, that was the end result. And condoms say they're 99% effective, not 100. So, I mean, at any point.
I'll stall you out. I still feel like you're responsible if it was condom sex that broke. But regardless, I mean, it's your child. Like, you took a risk and you crapped out. I'm sorry.
That was funny. Just the way it came off, it's this condom sex that broke.
Oh. You got the goofies today. That's what that is. King Keys, what are your thoughts?
If you have sex and you have a child, that's just a consequence of having sex. You know what I'm saying? And if that kid comes out and is yours, you got to deal with it. Period. I don't really care if, you know, you didn't want the kid or you went in it. You know, like, it's not, it doesn't matter. If she got pregnant and is yours, that's your kid. Ain't no escaping that.
Okay. Smitty, what's your thoughts?
I disagree with all them motherfuckers.
Let's hear it,
Smitty. This is
fuck your shit.
You would.
No, I'm just saying, like, I don't think it should be a unilateral decision, though. Like, a woman, like, yeah, she got pregnant, but I don't think it should be her sole thing to say, well, I want to have this kid and I'm gonna have it, and so you gotta deal with it. Like, no, that's not fair. Like, if I disagree, if I say, listen. If I talk to you about it and I'm like, listen, I'm not in a position to do this. I don't think it's right. I don't think we should bring this child in this world. I'm more than happy to give the baby up for adoption or other, you know, like other alternatives. But I don't think it should be a unilateral decision to have a baby. If it takes two of you to make one, it should make the decision should be both of y'all's to make it. Right. Like, it shouldn't be, because what the woman is doing is, and what everybody's saying is, it's OK for her to make a decision and put that decision on me. Like, well, I don't know if that's right.
Hold
like,
on.
I don't know. Not her body.
So she can have the baby and give the baby up for adoption. So she can't have it and raise it, but someone else can. That's a question.
If that's your mutual decision, I'm not saying but I don't think it's right. Just alone for her to make a unilateral decision and then force me into the decision. If I decide that I want to back out of this decision and say, hey, listen, I don't want to be a father. You know what I'm saying? I did lay down with you. If you want to keep the baby, that's up to you. But I don't want to be a
father. That should be a choice of mine. Like, it shouldn't be just a unilateral decision. She's telling me, no, she had the baby. And now I'm like, well, she had the baby. Now I'm stuck with the baby because she made a unilateral decision to have the baby. Like, we, nobody in the world knows that that's not, like, we let that stuff slide because it's a baby and for life. But really, truly, if you take it into account, if I told you today, you're going to pay me $1 million today, and you like, no, I'm not. Like, I'm not gonna pay you $1 million. That's basically what you just did when you said a baby. You said,
no,
I'm not giving you any options to
no, you did have it, see that that's where I gotta jump off that train, because you did have options. You had options not to sleep with that woman. You had options not to engage. You chose to play the game. You knew the rules prior to getting involved in the game. And then once the outcome wasn't what you wanted it to be, you want to now try to back out of it. That's weak as hell.
That's exactly what I agree with, because
I want to call bullshit, but you can go ahead and with your bullshit.
I feel like this, you know, in all actuality, we should not be having premarital sex.
Oh, for real shit.
No, listen. No, listen. No, you already know. Hear me out.
Somebody mute this nigga.
Hear me out, though. Real mute shit. Him. A lot of issues that we deal with that come from sex. Like, you know, we joke about it, but why the fuck was I getting an STD and I'm in high school? Why I know about Herman Kiefer? Why? You know what I'm saying? Like, honestly, when I look at it for my kids, like, I don't expect them to wait till they marry, right? But what I would like for them, part of me, you know, would be just to wait, because a lot of issues that I went through, you wouldn't have had to go through. But if you're going to go and not wait until you marry, you may fuck around and get a female pregnant while you going out slurring around. I knew that that was a reality for me. You know, it's a possibility. You know what I'm saying? So if she gets pregnant and she doesn't want an abortion, obviously I may want it, but she doesn't want it. That's it. It's her call. Because we got to be in agreement to do an abortion. If you want to keep the baby, then, hey, ain't nothing I could do. And then I'm responsible. If I didn't want the responsibility.
Wait, why you got to be in agreement for an abortion, but not be in agreement to, like, to
that's terminating keep life. The baby? And the whole thing. It's just because it's to terminate a life, y'all got to be on the same level. That really can fuck a female up. You know what I'm saying? So I would never force a female to do it. I would say, hey, this is what I want to do. How do you feel about it? And then if she's like, no, she don't want to do it, ain't nothing I can say. I don't went through it. You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, you know, if I didn't want to be in this shit, I wouldn't have been fucking.
All right, go ahead, Lake.
Okay, so for one, King just said that his hopes for his children is the same hope that our parents had for us and the parents before. Every fucking parent hoped that their kids would keep it in their pants until they're married. So that doesn't change. That only changes because now you're a parent and you want better for your child.
Right.
That our parents wanted for us. But that's not the reality. The reality of it is that if someone doesn't want to have a child, it takes two people to lay down. Now, if she decided that she wanted to get rid of the child and he wanted to keep it, it's nothing he can do. So therefore, if he decides to relinquish his rights because he doesn't want to have the child, it should be the same, because she has to understand what it takes to be a single mother. See, women decide that they want to have these children and then they end up in a situation. No, you don't know what it's like to do this shit by yourself, because motherfuckers have still signed the fucking paperwork and have you out here raising a child by themselves. And you still,
you don't really know.
I know you've been a single parent.
So that's what I'm saying.
What I'm saying is most women, and I don't know what kind of help you did. I don't know your story.
And I was raised by a single mother. I understand
but
that. But I think as a man, I ain't having no kid out here. I don't give a fuck who the female was. I could hate her fucking guts. But you think I'm going to be a sucker ass nigga and have a
but
kid out here?
Most niggas are suckers. Ninjas. That is what the fuck they do. I mean, so if you
most
most,
I mean, most, I don't know. I ain't
there. This is probably the only four motherfuckers out here I know that actually take care of their kids. Everybody else don't take care of their kids. So, and I said it.
That's a big statement
on the ones and twos. That's me. I said it. Lakeisha Nicole Butler, call me out on it. And I'll tell you, you ain't taking care of your motherfucking kids to your face. So back to what I was saying, though, if she wants to take the chance to be a single mother, that's a big fucking statement. And people don't know what every day is like raising a child. They have this ideology in their head how their child is going to be and how it's going to be raising them. But when you get in the thick of things and that little motherfucker don't go to sleep and it's been 3 years, you want to blame him, even though he said that this was not what he wanted to sign up for. You're going to force somebody into a life that they did not want. And what's going to happen when you're forced into doing something you don't want to do? You're going to walk away from it and you're not going to be a part of it. Therefore, the child suffers, and so does the person who's raising the child by themselves. So yes, he should be able to have a say-so, because both of them, and women are smarter than men. That bitch knew who she laid down with. She knew that he wasn't father material in the first place. 9 times out of 10, she was just attracted to somebody that she wanted to get some penis from. Because most of the times, we know good and damn well if we have any business sleeping with a person in the first place. And we're supposed to be smart enough to keep our legs closed, because the possibility of getting pregnant is always there. And everybody agrees with that. So where's her responsibility if she ends up pregnant? And that's her body. This is her future. This is her life. So why isn't that a factor first and foremost? You putting yourself first before you waiting on somebody else's decision on what you think is right or wrong. I'm just saying, I waited until I was 32 to have kids. And I'll tell you, I had an abortion at 19. And the guy wanted to keep the fucking kids. For what? What were we going to do when I was 19 with a baby? Was that right that I decided to have an abortion and he wanted to keep the kids?
That was okay, because that was your body. In the end, you the one that got to go through it, I think.
I think that's wrong, though. Like, I think it should be, like, if you land down and you land down mutually and this is your result of the game, right? I think it should be the same fact on a woman. The woman had a baby and she can get a baby up to the man. Like, here you go, shit. Like,
but that don't happen often.
I know it don't happen often. What I'm getting at is we mutually lay down. Then when it comes to a baby, we don't mutually decide on the baby. You know what I'm saying? Like if I'm in agreement, I'll say, you know what? I lay down. Well, this is the result of us laying down. I'm going to walk up and take up my responsibility. Right. Not every man's going to do that, but I think it should be a discussion and we should have it. Like, it shouldn't be unilateral on the sense of if the man want to keep it and the woman's willing to have it, had a baby, here you go. Like, you be single dad.
This,
when you marry, you ain't got to deal with
it. Sounds like utopia, perfect world, right? But what happens in a situation where you don't agree on what happens? Who makes that final decision?
We got both don't agree.
Always make the final
decision. You both don't agree. So he wants to keep the baby, she doesn't. She wants to keep the baby, he doesn't. So you keep saying that you guys should, there should be no unilateral decision. You guys should come together and make a decision. But the decision is, I want to keep the baby and he doesn't. So then what happens?
She's going to keep the baby because she's selfish. But she's going to make him be responsible.
How does that make her selfish?
Because if you want to have that child, then that's fine. Then be woman enough to know that the next 18 years you could be out here with no help. Be real enough with yourself.
I guess I'm confused because I don't think that... We never discussed the concept of him taking care of the baby. The question was, are you going to claim the baby? Right? Because we know there's men who are in marriages who don't take care of their kids.
Well, okay, well, let's go into that.
That's just
because that was my next question is, okay, should that man be responsible to care for that child financially, emotionally, or what going forward, even though he wasn't willing to accept the responsibility or didn't want to claim that child? So should a man be financially or emotionally responsible to care for that child?
Financially, I say yes.
I think he
should have the right to relinquish his rights right there in the beginning. He should have that option.
I agree.
You can do that. You can do that in real life. You can relinquish your rights to your kids.
And will he be financially responsible if he does that?
Mm-mm. I don't know.
Not if he releases rights. It's as if that parent doesn't exist anymore as a legal claim for that child.
But then go ahead and try to have another kid and see it on CPSB on your ass.
I mean,
see, that's fucked up.
Yeah. See,
Totally understand. I think it's just that it's gotta be some type of discussion and it can't just be unilateral. Like, it just, I understand that if there's no discussion and the woman keeps the child, fine, whatever. But like, I don't think it should be this world out here where it's one-sided, where
who are these people that you know who's not having discussions? Like, this is mind-blowing to me that you think that people are, like, a girl just has sex with a man, she get pregnant, and she like, yeah, I'm keeping it, nigga. Like,
we they do that, though. I'm not
even talking to you. Who they are do that. These women?
Oh, no.
I can't they point out 1 hour.
They do that. They do. Listen, women do that. Like, well, I don't give a fuck about your daddy, so I'm going to have a kid anyway. You know what I'm saying? I'm pregnant. I'm going to have a kid anyway. And
I mean, ain't that where the whole phrase trapping them come from? Essentially, like, getting you
keep a nigga baby.
Yeah.
I don't believe in the concept of trapping, because you knew if you put your penis inside of that vagina with no condom on and you came inside of that vagina, then you knew that you had a chance to get that girl pregnant. She didn't trap you, love. You fucked up.
But sometimes women lie on men, like, I'm on birth control, or I had a tubal ligation, or I don't believe in
the birth control thing either. You need to protect yourself if your goal is to not have children.
I understand that, Tiff. Like, I totally understand where you're coming from, but shit still happened. Like, that shit.
It's honestly a lack of maturity, because it is
a situation where, like, I believe that shit happens.
But you really can't just say, "Hey, I'm not going to fuck raw," and then nothing fucking happens. But you just become careless and be like, "Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and slide in there raw."
That's short sighted anyway. Because you, again, back to a condom. You could have a condom on, or she could be on birth control. Like, none of these things are 100% foolproof. But okay, cool, you had a child, but don't make me a pariah. Don't make me Hester Prime with a scarlet A on my fucking chest, because I decided to tell you, you know what? I'm going to relinquish my rights. So don't make me out to be a scumbag when I think it's very mature of a person to say, I am not ready or father material or financially stable enough to have a child. So again, like Lake said, just know that if this does come down to it, that you probably should be know that I may not have this help. If you're going to badmouth the father to the child, hey, that's whatever you decide to do, right? But at the end of the day, know that you may not have the support that you're looking to have from that man at that time. And he may come around. He may come around and be like, damn, this is fucked up. I got a whole child out here in this world who is already bad enough that, you know, especially we're going to go from the community we in, like African-American, that we already got, enough stuff against us that I got a child out in this world. Okay, maybe I want to come back and play in this child's life and be in this child's life and start planning for this child financially and own up to the fact that I wasn't there for you. For whatever reason, I still wasn't there. I just don't know if it's right to say that this man who openly said, yeah, we laid down and had sex, it went that way. Should I be vilified for this when I say I don't want to claim this child?
Maybe I just don't know these people.
I see life kind of black and white. I just, you know, with that. But it's just because of how I feel about it. Like, when it come to your kids, man, I guess it's just me. When it come to your kids, fuck it. It don't matter. Like, if I got one, you know, I got one from when I was in high school or early 20s. And right now, and I just be like, oh, okay, well, I got, you know, it's another one. Let me do what I got to do.
But I mean,
that's just how I look at it. Like, you just can't.
Right, you a stand-up dude.
You know?
Like, I think right now, just me, guys, man. You guys are looking at this from where you are now in life. And I guess I have to step back 20 years and move forward. You know, a lot of these situations that we're discussing right now happens when you're in your early 20s, going into your 30s. And by the time you're in your mid 30s, the way you look at life has changed. Hence, Tiffany not making a conscious decision not to have children right now. You know, at some point in time, you have to know that a child is a responsibility. You know, but when you're young and you're just screwing around and it just feels good, ain't nobody thinking about the possibility of having children. And can't you all agree that you went years without thinking about having babies?
I had mine young, Plan B? I had mine at 23.
But you also made bitches swallow Plan Bs like Skittles.
Yeah.
Right.
In high school, at 23, she wasn't having it. Well, no more abortions, nothing. That was it.
So wait. That ain't the same thing. Because somebody wasn't having it, wasn't the same as whether or not you was like, okay, I'm good to go. She just wasn't having it no more. If you couldn't get the Plan B off anymore.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, I talked to her because I didn't want to have a kid with her. Like, real shit. You knew what was going on with her at the time, Courtney. Yeah. So, you know, when, like, and I was just kicking my own ass. Like, you dumb motherfucker. Had her pregnant last year. Had an abortion.
And she said, if I get pregnant again, I ain't having it. What the fuck I do the next year? Stupid. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, fuck it. I looked at it like, you know what? That was my dumbass fault. You know, it is what it is. But I ain't about to have my seed out here. So at 23, I manned up. I was married at 24. So it hit like four kids at that point. So I don't know. I just go into that shit. Family is everything. So like, nigga, I ain't running away from that shit.
And see, that's real. That's a real insight to have.
I understand a lot of niggas don't appreciate that shit, but shit, nigga, that's what you leave behind. So, okay.
Let me ask you a question, like, because you said that I get the concept of, you know, you just fucking around in your early 20s and you don't necessarily think of the repercussions of your actions. But like, I guess for me as a woman, I always thought it was a possibility for me to get pregnant. Do you mean that for men or for
men? I mean that, period. Like, I'll give you my example. I was on birth control from 13 to 18, 19. I ended up getting pregnant like 3 months after I stopped taking birth control pills. And then from then on, I never got pregnant again. And I really thought it was because the amount of time that I was on birth control, because I tried to start taking it again, you know, and then I never got pregnant. So when I had some hiccups and I never got pregnant, I just kind of assumed I couldn't have children. You know, and then there was other health issues, but it didn't stop me from having unprotected sex with the person I was with, because at that point I didn't get knocked up. And then by the grace of God, I ended up getting with a fuck boy and having my son. Thank God, you know, that I have my child. But I did consciously at 32 know. I remember sitting at the table with my parents knowing I was pregnant by somebody that was not going to be there with me, and how I was going to handle this situation with raising this child by myself. So I'm just a human, and that's my story, but I would say women do it too. It's a catch 22 both ways. I was living a life. I drank a lot. I smoked a lot, and I liked the fuck. And so sometimes it was with protection. Sometimes it wasn't.
That's a good title for a CD.
That's a good shirt right there. Say it again.
I drank a lot. I smoked a lot, and I liked the fuck.
I spell fuck backwards. I spell fuck backwards. Oh, wow. You want that on there? You want it on there? I'll do it. You want it?
Hey, I don't care. Bet. But the reality of it is we're human. And sometimes human beings, when you're in horny, I don't think you could think straight about what, I mean, some people are good with it. Tiffany, I'm so happy that you're disciplined. I'm so happy.
Except when it comes to that one nigga.
I mean, it's still, but that one nigga couldn't get me pregnant. Like, it ain't no way on God's, like, and I would today.
Catching it.
Today, if he knocked on my door, like, what do I need to do? Where do I need to go? Could still wrap me around his finger. But I'd be goddamn if I let you get me pregnant.
Like, but that's now.
That was back then. That was back then.
But
like, sex, amazing. Talking to him, amazing. All these great things, amazing. But I always had it in the back of my mind, I wish this nigga would get me pregnant. Because I know he ain't shit. I'm not stupid.
Would you keep the baby if you got pregnant by this man? If you wanted to keep the baby, would you have kept the baby? And would you been okay with him saying, I don't want to be a part of this baby life?
Courtney, I've talked to you about this guy. He would have wanted to keep the baby.
True.
There would have been no questions asked. He would have never have let me get rid of a baby.
But you could have.
If that's what I wanted to do.
Right.
But so specifically in that situation, he would never have let me get rid of a baby. So if I wanted to keep the baby in that situation, yeah, it worked.
But see, okay, well, back to what Smitty's saying, and then I'm gonna move on from this. But like, back to Smitty saying is, it's still kind of unilateral, right? Like, y'all would have came to an agreement of both of y'all keeping the baby. But at either point, whether you wanted to keep it or you didn't want to keep it, you would have finally made the end decision to being like, I'm getting rid of this child, or I'm going to keep this child.
It always boiled down to the person who holds the cards. She has the child inside of her, so she makes the decision.
But see, that's,
and she got to deal with whatever the repercussions are of that decision.
Well, I mean, I think that's what, and coming full circle, that's the end of that conversation, right? Is that, cool, you may want to keep the baby or you may not want to keep the baby. Just whatever that decision is, know that however that plays out for you is going to play out, and you got to be willing to live up to that. For everybody involved, man and woman.
You got
to
eat that meatball on your own if that's the case.
You got to live with it. You got to live with that. So with that being said, move over to our next topic. Good discussion. So I want to ask everybody, Is it more difficult to be a mother than a father? Does the phrase mom, baby, and dads maybe play a role in the mother-father roles and how, you know, parenting goes? So I'm going to start off with Mr. K. I'm going to start off with you. Oh, no, I started off with you last time. King Keys, I'm going to start off with you.
I'll go next. I'm still thinking about that one.
I'm sorry. Did I give you a decision? This is unilateral here.
Okay. Repeat the question again.
Give me the first part.
You said, is the mother's
role it more difficult to be a mother than a father?
Oh, man. That's difficult. I think it has its speed bumps on both ends. I think off rip, just a woman having to carry the baby and everything she goes through during that process is just crazy. You know, men, we have to deal with things. You know, my lady, you know, put me through hell at certain points with Mackenzie. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, fuck it. I'm gonna just go sleep on the couch. You know, I know it's what she's going through. Let me not take it personal. You know, so they have to deal with all that. Their body changing, dealing with the baby, especially if it's their first. You know, I mean, I don't act like I know what they're going through, but I could imagine it's a lot with having to deal with all of that. You know, and then raising a child, if she was working and now, you know, if she's career oriented, now she can't go to work. You know, she has to deal with all that. And then the man can pretty much, you know, take his little time off, go back to work. It's pretty much, you know, he's a supporting role at that point. And the woman bears a lot of the responsibility in the beginning. So I don't know. I think that good fathers are undervalued. You know, I think when you when you're a good father, you know, you're not really valued. That's like the hardest thing there. And then for men, you know, you have to remain strong. So, you know, you internalize a lot of shit. So having to just go through life, keeping shit in to be strong for your family, that's a task there. So I just think it's difficult on both ends, you know. So it's hard to say, you know, I want to say the woman, honestly, but it's hard on both ends.
Lake, what are your thoughts? Is it easier? Is it more difficult to be a mother than a father?
I think that yes, and it's not totally about the parenting. Normally, like, mom is there to coddle everyone. So in a lot of situations, mom takes care of the kids, mom takes care of the husband, you know, and she takes care of the household. So she's usually the last person to be taken care of, you know, and it's emotional and it weighs heavy on her. She has to be stronger. You know, dad gets a chance. I mean, I'm not going to say get a chance to go to work, but if one person has the opportunity, normally dad is going to be the one that goes to work and provide financially. But when you have to deal with them fucking kids all damn day, that shit is the pits, you know, one, two, or four, you know, that's a hard ass job. And even though a man may have a hard job, he has no idea of how that bears on you to be with those kids all day. You know, a lot of times I see dad gets a chance to jump in and discipline, you know, some fathers, not all, because I know you guys are educated. They're not the ones that have to help with homework. They're not the ones that necessarily do bath and bedtime. You know, they're just pretty much there, they become the fun person in the house, you know, the one that the kids watch TV with. And normally, in a lot of households, mom become hated because she bitches all the time or she wants things done a certain way. So it makes it puts a lot on her, you know. And then if they're separated, you know, usually a woman is the one who takes the child if they're going to be not together. She's 9 times out of 10, the mother has the children or is responsible for raising that child, or she gets 5 days a week and he gets 2. You know, it always comes back down to the weight on mom's shoulder. That's my opinion.
Okay, thank you for that. Tiffany, what are your thoughts?
To be honest, that I can be partial and say I think it's women. I always think women have a hard way to go, but I don't know the plight of a father. So I don't really, I can't give you a clear answer. I can only give you what I assume, which would be the mom.
Okay. Well, I know, granted, you can't go from speaking on the plight of a father, but what makes you say mom?
Like, because what have I you feel seen? Like, I feel like moms deal with everything, even beyond all the examples that were already provided by Lake and King Keys. I feel like when children get shit from birth, children are so dependent on their mom. Like, mom fixes everything. She has to be everything. She has to be everywhere. Kids tend to go to their mom before they go to their fathers for everything. They're the ones who are typically, and it, I mean, and don't get me wrong, because there are some situations where dads are super on it and dads are the ones who, you know, take care of parent-teacher conferences, pick the kids up. I'm not discounting that, but more often than not, you see women in those positions. So you've got women in these, the moms that are taking care of these things, and they're also still trying to have a career, also still coming home, cooking dinner, cleaning the house, and being there for her man. Like, it's just so many pressures put on a woman, in my opinion, that men don't necessarily have to deal with, or they can pick and choose what they want to deal with.
Okay, thank you. Mr. K.
I would say that the mother, she has to deal with from the point of conception to her death, the kid is always on her mind and taking care of the child. I mean, you have the fears of everything with your child. I agree with a lot of things that Tiffany said, that it's like a father can come in and come out. And sometimes, a lot of times, the plight of a father is that they leave the family and then they want to come back whenever they want to. But a mom really doesn't have that. You know, some children even hate their mothers for the rest of their lives for leaving their family. But when it comes to the dads, it's like, oh, you gotta let the dad back in. He, you know, he made a mistake and things like that. And I think that when it comes to mothers, I don't believe that a lot of people have that same idea for mothers. And I think mothers just have it hard. It's a lot to do.
All right, Smitty, what's your thoughts?
I don't think that I'm gonna go with what everybody's saying, like, a little bit, but I think the mothers are very much the hardest working unit in the house, right? But I think fathers are just as hardworking, you know, when you're a good father, right? Like, there's things that, yeah, mom does all these things, but dad also do those things, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know somebody on the phone does a lot of cooking, a lot of the bath time, a lot of story time, you know. I think he, you know, playing with the kids when mom's working, you know, like, it's, I think that dads, it just depends on the house dynamic. But I think that we're missing out on, like, dads being just as hardworking as the mom. You know, like, everybody said, the mom has it harder. But I think that the dads just have it as hard as the mom do. Like it's not always the mom that's getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to feed the baby and change the baby and do things like that. I know it's a lot of times mom do that, but I think dad has it just as hard. And I think there's a number, I think we miss out on the single dads because a lot of times we don't see that. And that's not a story that's portrayed in the media or in the world, right? Like, a single dad, like, when somebody thinks a single dad, that's an anomaly, right? They'd be like, oh, it's a single dad, like, it's okay, he's a single dad. But a single mom, like, oh my god, we gotta help her out, we gotta do everything. Like, my church passed out gift cards to all the single moms, right? I was like, what about the single dads? My pastor looked at me like, we never thought about that, right? Because that's not the narrative that people say. And you know, there's times where dad does everything the mom does. You know, the only thing that's missing is giving birth, right? After that point, that mom, those parents are equally level. And it's what the dad needs to, if the dad needs to step up and take pressure off the mom at the time, that's what the dad needs to do. So I know that the fellows on this call are very good dads. So I think they're selling themselves a little short, though. I thought they were going to come out the gate saying that they were
on Father's Day, we'll honor them all. But now today,
with a bold ass glass of some socks that we don't get from Five Below.
And then, you know, like dad never get no good
on Father's Day.
But you know, like, on Father's Day, what's really funny about Father's Day is you got to spend time with your kids on Father's Day. But a mom gets the day by herself. Like,
that's the only thing I ever wanted was time by myself on Mother's Day. But then his dad decided to. No, he decided to go to prison and not give it to me.
That's another topic we should ask. Like, should they allow the parents to be parental hours in prison? They should babysit their kids.
Hell, fuck yeah. We're gonna talk about that.
I like the fact that this panel is, you guys are full of the abnorm, if that's a word, if I'm saying that right. You know, you are a reflection of what society should be like. You know, the people who are single and probably waiting for marriage and then children. Those of you who are that are married, you know, you are raising your families the way you're supposed to. The one thing I can say, like, Smitty chances of having a family with a kid is a lot easier than Tiffany if she had a kid. Like, if they both were single parents, Smitty can grab a bitch real quick because bitches love to help a man with his kids. You know, it's so adorable for a single dad. And that's probably the reason why you don't hear a lot of times people talking about it, because he's only single for so long and then he finds some broad that want to come over and help him cook meals because it's so cute and this, that, and the other and blah, 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 blah. Whereas a single woman, that is like her crutch. You got that young kid over there. I ain't trying to be nobody's daddy. You know what I mean? I'm super straight. Call me when you got the weekends free. So I don't know if that was the topic, but I felt like saying that. That's why I fucking
If I may comment on that one. When I met my wife, I had just turned 23 and I just had Keenan Jr. In April. And I met her and she had two kids. But she was like 27, going on 28, you know. And I knew off of me having a kid, I really couldn't be picky. And, you know, after I got to know her, you know what I'm saying? I was like, it's cool. You know, like for men that don't mind kids, you know, that won't scare a nigga off, you know. Because, I mean, that's what really, you know, being a man is in the end, having your family. You know.
Would you have felt the same if you didn't have a child, though? Or if you were
No, old? It really didn't matter. My thing was, you know, let me hear your story. You know, like, was you just out here whoring around and you just had kids? Or, you know, you was with a nigga and you was about to get married. You was married. He was cheating. You left. And, you know, life happens. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's all about, you know, how it happened. Because, I mean, it's really about the person. You know, you really can't just blackball a female because she got a kid, because she could be the most loyal down female you'll fucking find. You feel me? So, you know, I just look more at the person when it comes to that. Now, it is a limit, though. You can't walk up to me and you got three kids. Like, that's not going to happen. And at this point, you know, I'm done. I don't want any more than what the fuck I have. So me and my lady, that's it. Unless she wants one more, but I'm not. No.
Wait, you were so resolute, but then you was like, "Well, unless she wants."
I mean, unless she wants that, I gotta have another one.
Yeah, and I don't want her hearing this shit, baby. Yeah, I know you want one, so yeah, I might give in. But yeah. Okay.
Any other final thoughts? I am going to say, and then we're gonna go and move on to the next topic. So what I'm gonna say is that what was that? I seen something. Okay. I was about to go into my shit.
And I seen Smitty.
Who's smoking what?
Can I ask Smitty something and Tiffany?
I ain't had no turkey today, so yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, both of you are single with no children, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I want to know how you guys feel about dating someone with children.
I don't want to come off harsh. Like, well, I don't give a fuck about your kids, but I'm sorry.
For me, I don't have a problem with it. Like, I think that, especially being as old as I am, right? Most of the people I mess with have some type of kid, right?
What's they got? Cubs and shit?
Kangaroos.
Look, you're not about to find, you know, like,
it's, got a baby parrot in the house. I got something not careful.
Like, if I have to date somebody that with no kids, I have to go down to the lower ranks. Like, I have to go to like somebody that's like 22. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like I don't really, and I can't talk to no 22 year old. Oh my God.
Right.
But
oh my God.
But
that'd be a headache.
But like, so you I think it's a very interesting dynamic when you date somebody with a child, because it's like, okay, you gotta pick around that schedule, right? Like, can they get a babysitter? You know, we gotta do stuff like, you know. Like, a lot of women don't want you to meet their kid right away. So So you're dating and, you know, like it's probably like the fifth or sixth date and you finally meet their kid. And then all of a sudden it's kid activities. And you're like, I didn't want to become a dad instantly. Like, I still want to get to know you. Like, not trying to be mean, but like, I don't need to go to all these kid dates. Like, you know what I'm saying? So you meet the kids. Now it's like kid dates, kid date, kid date. You're like, okay. But like, I think it's just a cost of like dating sometimes where you become like an instant dad, but you're not trying to be a dad right away because you're trying to learn. You're trying to understand her. And trying to build that relationship, and that's very hard to do when there is a kid. But I don't have a problem with dating women with kids. I have to go with Keenan though. There is a limit to like initially coming into it, right? Like I think two is my limit. Dating a woman with two kids is just the limit initially. Like, and if we decide to have a third or a fourth, that's fine. But I can't walk into it where you got four kids. Like, I can't do it.
And I agree with you on that. When you said it's like you're trying to get to know her, but you got to deal with the kids at the same time. You know, you just around and, you know, kids will be kids. You in the house just, you know, and they doing whatever. And you're not trying to be their daddy, but, you know, don't run. You're going to run to this table. You know what I'm saying? So you inadvertently just end up stepping in like that. You know?
And you learn a lot about somebody's parenting style real quick, too. Like, you like, oh, yeah, I don't. Oh, no. Like, I've not talked to women because I've seen how they interact with their kids.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm, oh, no. Like, oh, no.
And honestly, being with my wife, because, you know, she was already a parent, it just put me up on so much game. So I was able to be a little bit more advanced because, you know, shit, at 23 with a kid and the B in my head, man, look here. You feel me? I was lucky.
It's interesting that you say that guys say that the amount of kids is a factor. For me, it's not the amount of kids. It's the amount of baby moms, because oftentimes a guy is not the primary parent. So I don't have to necessarily deal with the kids all the time. Ideally, for me, I would prefer to date a guy with no kids. I'm also of a certain age and I realize that that's not necessarily realistic. So yeah, if he has, you know, ideal, if he could have 10 kids, but with one woman, okay, that's doable. It's fair, but it's also a bit sucky because you already know you come second place. Like, you are always putting yourself in a position to be second place. That can suck. And it's a hard pill to swallow sometimes when it's like, hey, I'm a fly by the seat of my pants type girl. So I can truly decide. And I've done it like, oh, I bought a ticket to Egypt on a whim because I found it in that moment. And if I'm with a guy, I'm dating a guy.
Oh, shit.
He doesn't necessarily have those capabilities. He can't move like how I move because he has children he has to take care of. His kids might have some sort of game or something. It just kind of puts a damper on the way I'm living my life now.
And if I was his baby mama, like, you bought a ticket to Egypt? Like, we buying tickets to Egypt now?
Exactly. Even with one baby mom, because it's always something with kids that needs to be taken care of, and which is fair. And I'd be looking at him sideways like, well, what you gonna do for your kids? So how's that work? Like, yeah, you might buy me nice things, but like, what about your children? Are you also buying them nice things? It's just so many different layers when it comes to dating a man with children.
Daughters. Dating the man with daughters. Kill me now.
It's like, because they get, I mean, daughters for daddies are just different. It's a different breed. And you are like 10th place at that point. Hey, what that little girl wants, that little girl gets. If she don't like you, then he don't like you. You can't come around. It's a different world.
Damn, son. That's fucked up.
So now you trying to not only impress dad to keep your boo thing around, you gotta now impress this little kid. So it's like, are you dating two people?
You can call them little bitches.
Well, I don't want to do that.
They are. When it comes to their daddies, oh my gosh, she got to be growing out the house with her own family if he got a daughter with
her. Why the babies catching strays?
Because them daughters something else.
Yeah, daughters
they both stay married because you're going to be out here in these streets. You ain't never going to get no pussy if you got the twin girls. Please stop it. Your you girls gonna be Karen, cock blockers.
I can definitely see Addie being that way. I could definitely see Addie being that way.
No, that's the wrong one. Addie would be cool with it. Bella would be like,
I see
how she'd have some problems. No, it'd be some smart talking type shit going on, boy.
See, Addie would be the one that'd come up with, like, she'd be like the behind the scenes with the shit, right? Bella come up and be like, who fuck you? And then, like, and be real. She'll be about it. She'll face with it. She'll immediately find a plan to get rid of you. You're not my mama. I'm pretty sure she would say that. If I was dating, she'd be like, you're not my mama. And then turn around and just walk, but like, look at you and do one of them. And then walk.
You done told the woman to gather her wraps.
Yeah.
You're not going to be here long.
You on borrowed time. You on borrowed time.
Don't need to set your stuff down, love. Hey, keep moving.
Call your ass at Uber. I got somewhere to be. That's what she would say. All right, good conversation, y'all. All right, so moving on to our final topic, I want to know what don't black children have access to that white children do. Smee, can you help me out with this? I know we wrote this, but what were we going for here?
we were trying to give like resources and things that, as you know, with our cast being black, what is the perception that we feel like black kids don't have access to, or we didn't have access to, that we perceive that white people have access to?
One of the things of the subject, if I write like a swimming pool in schools, right? You guys mentioned that.
Yeah. Keep I going. Mean, that's, yeah, you could, that's true. Like,
yeah. Like, I mean, like white kids take swimming lessons, right? White kids may go horseback riding. White kids may know what a 501(c) is, or, you know, learn how to do books. And you know, like white, they may have just advantages. And, or do they have advantages that are these just perceived? Do black people kids actually have these advantages, and it's just mass media says otherwise? Or do they? Go ahead.
I was going to jump in here, if that's okay. Can y'all hear that? Yes. Well, I was watching The Help the other day, and they were going over some of the Jim Crow laws. And one of the laws was like, no, if the books enter the white school or the books enter the black school, that book can never go to the opposite school. And I'm like, that's where it all started. You know, like if pools wasn't built in black schools, then kids wasn't swimming, you know, therefore we wasn't learning how to swim. We wasn't in areas where horseback riding, especially once people migrated to the city, where that was a factor to start teaching people how to horseback ride or farm and things of that nature. You know, a lot of Caucasians still live in rural areas or where they have acres, where those things are available and ready, you know, for them. It's not fair, nor is it right, but it's sad. I do think you mentioned a 503(c). Is that what you said, Courtney?
501(c)(3).
Okay, 501(c)(3). I think that's sad that we're not teaching the level of corporate business, right, to our African-American children. That's probably something that we should be demanding. And I think we talked about this on another show about like them actually having real life college courses, doing taxes and things of that nature. I never went to a white school, but I did. One of the things that struck me strange or was different, my god sister went to Mercy High School, mm-hmm. and she was a production manager during the plays that they put on. And it was amazing the production that they put on twice a year. It was like some real life Fox Theater shit. And it was ran by the students. And she was like, she had the stress of the production manager. She had to be there. She had to plan the scheduling. And they had people doing the sets and costume design. And this was all within the school. And I was thinking to myself, like, damn, that's some real life Grease shit. Like, I went to, when I thought I was going to be in high school, I thought we would do things like that, but we never did. And I don't know. I still, to this day, 25 years later, don't really understand why we didn't have those same opportunities.
Thank you, Lake. All right, Tiffany, what are your thoughts?
I don't necessarily see it as a black-white thing. I see it as more of a class issue. So you start talking about in more urban areas, which oftentimes is a lot of black people, but it can be underprivileged white kids, Hispanic kids. There's a lot of resources that are missing that are easily accessible to the white schools. So like was saying, like the production value, I even at Ferndale,
Can I ask you why you said underprivileged white and Hispanics, and then when you said urban, you said black, and you didn't say underprivileged black people?
I'm sorry, it wasn't intentional. It wasn't like I'm just trying to say that black people aren't underprivileged or are. It wasn't a slight. If you thought it was,
I know. I'm just saying, like it was just interesting that you would say it like that, but it's fine. I understand where you're coming from, though.
Yeah. Okay. So, like I was saying, these kids, like the production value. So at Ferndale, my cousins went to Ferndale High School, and that's not even that far from the city. Their production value of their plays that they would put on every year was amazing. I think that your urban areas more so lack resources you know how like you go to a white school and a lot of things in life are about connections and who you know. You've got these kids whose parents are CEOs, whose they went to school with a kid whose dad owns whatever. So they have those connections and they can lean on those connections later on in life. And I think oftentimes you don't necessarily have that in urban areas. Is it possible? Yes. I attended Renaissance, Cass, all of those schools had these kids whose parents were very well connected and had these things. But oftentimes, I think more often than not, that's not the case, right? More often than not, these kids are going to schools in the suburbs that have way more resources. So my answer would be like the connections, I think, are the biggest thing, because that's what's going to get you indoors now and later on in life.
Thank you, King Keith.
And shout out to Keenan Jr. He got in cast.
Shout out. That's what's up. Yeah, 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 yeah. Round of applause.
Yeah. I mean, I would say it's more like systematic racism, if anything, because, for the most part, you're looking, most blacks would be in, let's say, in Michigan and be in Detroit. We know mostly Detroit is, how it is at this point. You know what I'm saying? Even if you're in a good area in Detroit, the schools are like shit for the most part, So maybe you don't have the capability to just, take them out the city. You got to get to work. You got to get them to school. It should be a good school in your area that's going to give them the same education as out in Bloomfield, And then that's where it starts to me. So, I think it's racism.
All right. Mr. K, what are your thoughts? So what don't black children have access to that white children do?
I think a lot is also with wealth, learning how to hold wealth, like not just get money, but actually hold money and gain wealth so that you can pass it on to generations upon generations. Because a lot of those, when you go to the white schools and things like that, because I've went to a white school where it was like, oh, the parents and grandfathers have been with the community for years upon years upon years, and they have this money, and they have all this stuff, and they have all these resources, and everything's been just passed on, and the kids know how to do it. They know how to run the family store and doing all these things. And I think that a lot of those things aren't taught in some communities, not just black communities, I think in other communities as well. And I think that the learning how to grow wealth and grow almost like a legacy, just keeping that family generation wealthy.
I want to step in, like, with the exception of Cass Tech here, like the kids at Cass, they pick a major, which is like the closest that I've seen to most Caucasian schools, where they actually focus in on what they plan on doing for the rest of their life at a high school age. So if they do fashion design or technology, they're already starting there. But I was just thinking, like, in a lot of the schools in the suburbs here in Michigan, because I'm in the city, kids are doing the art. They're doing maybe martial arts or some of those things in the schools, where a lot of our children has to take those outside of the school. Like DEPSEP was created for inner city students, that wanted to take technology or STEM courses outside of school because it wasn't available inside of school. I think about like the robotics competition we have downtown. You don't see a lot of Black schools competing in robotics, but there's 20,000 people in the building when they have those competitions. And if a kid from the inner city wants to be a part of the robotics program, they either have to find somebody to sponsor them or to try to create their own team, or they have to take it outside of the school that they're in. So it's evident a lot of times that the resources is just not the same. But I also noticed that most schools in the suburbs are being funded by alumni. You know, the money is, like you guys mentioned, wealth. Money is being pushed back into those schools to allow these kids to have those extra advantages, where most of us aren't going back into our high schools, even if we're wealthy, and pushing that money back into our high schools. It just doesn't happen in our community, not too often.
Thank you for that. And Smitty, what's your thoughts?
I think we talked about this back in one of our Black Vote series, kind of, but I think it's access. I think that we just don't, I think the, you know, they, you know, one of the question is, what doesn't Black kids have access to that white kids have? And it just flat out access. And that kind of piggyback off of what Tiffany's saying with connections, right? Where we just don't have we just don't have what's out there. Like we don't have the same kind of things that you know, white kids, because I went to a predominantly white high school, and the things that, like, I remember like talking to my guidance counselor, right? I remember being in an inner city school and never even knew who my guidance counselor was, right? And I remember wanting to be a lawyer, and I remember going to my guidance counselor and him pulling out a whole bunch of stuff, like, here's all the classes you need to take in order to help you become a better lawyer, right? Like, you got to take chemistry, you got to do these things, like, help, and then had checkpoints with me, making sure how I'm doing these classes, like, maybe we need to readjust. Maybe being a lawyer is maybe not be the right thing for you. He never said that, but I'm saying, and I remember wanting to go to vocational school, right? Like, we had Votech because you could go in the afternoon. And I remember wanting to go, and he was like, yeah, there's nothing over there for you because you want to be a lawyer. And, you know, he just kind of guided me away from things that I, you know, like making those kind of mistakes and things like that, what a guidance counselor is supposed to do, right? It's just a different experience. I think it's just having you know, some things that I think Black kids don't have access to a house full of books. I remember watching, I mean, we all see these TVs, and this is not every white person's house, right? But like, some people have libraries in their houses, right? I remember we had some old encyclopedias, but that was about it. Like, I didn't know what a novel was until I got to middle school, and my teacher's like, we're about to have you get 3 reading points for reading this novel. And I'm like, what's a novel? You know, just the kind of things that I don't think we don't have. That's why I buy a bunch of books. Like, even if I don't read all the books, I buy a bunch of books. I read majority of them, but I buy a bunch of books because I want my kids to have access to things that I didn't have access to, so they can pick up a book and read it and get something out of it. You know, I just think it's just having access. And I remember, just being honest, we didn't go to the library. Like, my mother never took me to the library. I got to the library when I became older and I was able to drive, but I didn't know. Well, my school had a library. My high school had a library. My inner city school probably had a library, but it was used as a classroom. Like, we wasn't really using it for the library. Like, it wasn't anything. I think that's the kind of things that we don't have access to, where the public library isn't easily accessible, right? Like you can't get your parents sometimes to take you to the library because they may not have transportation to take you to the library, because the library is so far from your house. There's not one close in your neighborhood that you can walk to. I remember, you know, like,
I remember the bookmobile coming to my school, and we could pick books off of, and they would come pick the book up. It was like mobile library, you know, like it was just stuff like that that I think we don't have access to as black kids.
They actually brought that back to the city. We do have the mobile library. We have several, actually. Any city promoted kid event that I've taken King to, even during the pandemic, the mobile library was there. And they actually pass out books because we keep a shit ton of books. Now, getting the little motherfuckers to read them is a whole different story. But I do believe in having books around. And it was nice. They had to reintegrate that program. It's fairly new. So it did go out for a couple of decades. It's like 3 years new. They fought for it. But it's nice to see it's back.
Well, yeah, so you got the books, and that's good to hear and have access. My bad. Go ahead, King.
Oh, so with those books and those kids, that's very important, especially if the kid takes a liking to it. Like Keenan and Madison, they love reading. So I use it to my advantage. Like for Keenan, for Christmas, I got him, Sun Tzu, Art of War. I got him that. I got him Alex Haley, Malcolm X autobiography, Letter to a Brother. I put all, you know, I went and researched books good for a black teen, you know, and what I wanted to reinforce in him. And Target had a buy two, get one free. So I had to take advantage.
That's what's up.
Love a deal.
So in 60 seconds, I'm about to get y'all out of here real quick. You know, everybody give me, what do you feel that we can do as a community, as us, as this podcast, as a community, to start getting access to the inner city youth so that they can be, maybe not on par, but start bringing up the level to start closing the gap between other kids.
Go back to your high school, give back there. Not just like have speeches, but like truly give back. I've got a few teacher friends on my Facebook that I graduated high school with who, I don't know if y'all remember the Scholastic Book Fair. Everybody used to look forward to it to get your books or whatever. So at the beginning of the year, it would come. She would put out there, that, hey, I've got these 30 kids and I would love to give them a book a month for, you know, something for them to read, something for them to have and take. And she would ask people to sponsor a kid. And we would all, or like everybody would just pick, you know, send money to her via Cash App or whatever, sponsor a kid. Those are things that you could do. If you got the money to sponsor 30 kids, why not do it once?
And a book don't cost shit.
Right. I mean, it's a weekend of partying for an average adult. You know what I mean? Like, you can go back and be a mentor to some of those kids so they can see a different life. So they can see not only someone being successful, but someone that looks like them and someone that came from the same place as them.
Thank you. Lake, what about you?
I'm actually going back to something I did straight out of college. I was working as an entrepreneurship mentor when I got out of college. That was my volunteer work. And I was only able to do it for about a year and a half. But a friend of mine, she's starting a nonprofit. And I, since I have so many working businesses going right now, and we're in the age of entrepreneurship, truly, I am going to work with her to start working with teenagers to help them get their ideas off the ground. Mentoring, giving them resources, helping them research grants or whatever we need to do, because I have a success story and she's now 35. So 20 years ago, I had a young lady who started her own business and she was a hair braider. And now she's like the dean of students at one of the elementary schools here. And I always look at Carolyn as one of my success stories. So if I can now reach 5, 6, 7, 8 kids, because I'm a little more patient now, I want to show them that there is a way to build your dreams through your hustle. And so as soon as we get through this COVID thing and we can safely get these groups back together, I'll be spending my volunteer time doing that.
Thank you for that, Lake. All right, Mr. K, what are your thoughts?
Definitely mentorship, going back to the community. Also, support people that are investing into bringing up the community. So, for example, Lamar Woodley, who used to play for Michigan, and he was a Super Bowl winning for his Steelers. So he actually went back to Saginaw and started up a middle school, a K through 12 school in the community. And he wanted to make sure that the curriculum was molded around the things that he felt like the community needed to know. So like, it was not only just they're doing math classes, they're doing business math classes. And it's, and he reached back to the community. So supporting those people that are actually investing into the community, and whenever they're giving a call saying, hey, can you donate to scholarships or donate to just starting this up or getting into investments, we should support them as well. Not only just our mentorship, but also supporting those that want to reach back to the community and do that as well.
Okay. And finally, King Keys, what's your thoughts?
I think we need to provide information. I think a lot of times, you know, in Detroit, you know, in DPS schools, you may not be aware of a certain field opening up. You know, it's something that you may not even know, you know, that you may like, you know, something you may want to look into, but because the information is not there, you don't know about it. So I really think it's just having the information out there available, and with a guidance counselor, you know, that I think those that is very good, because, you know, they can really sit down with the child and ask some questions and figure it out, you know, instead of just having them try to figure out on their own, you know. So I think information and just reaching out to them, you know, one-on-one.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. And so thank y'all, everybody, for your thoughts. And hopefully we continue being positive influences in children's lives and just helping uplift our community with just the resources we have available and helping to bridge that gap. And so again, thank y'all everybody for being on the show. Smitty, King Keys, Karen, Tiff, Liz Lake. Thank y'all for being here, being on the show. I'm gonna let y'all go ahead and do y'all shout out. So I'm gonna go ahead and start off with King Keys. Go ahead. Tell me what's up. What's going on with Sky Edibles?
All right, how y'all doing? Look here. Go over to Sky Edibles on Facebook and IG. Got some good things cooking up. We got some cereal bars. We got the honey smacks, fruity pebbles, vanilla rice krispies. Very good. Mention.
No repercussions.
Thank you. And you'll get 20% off your order.
Thank you. All right. Mr. K.
Valor Clothing Store on IG, Facebook, and valorclothingstore.com. What is Valor is bravery at its finest. Go to Valor Clothing Store online to get all your clothing needs for winter and springtime coming up.
Thank you. And Ms. Lake?
Hey, what's going on, you guys? This is Lake B Essence Photography here in Detroit, located in Oak Park, Michigan. You guys can catch me on Facebook.com / Lake B Essence, or on IG, Lake B _Essence. Hashtag Detroit's favorite photographer. I may not be the best, but I damn sure will be your favorite once you're done. It's an experience.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. So appreciate, again, everybody for being on the show and listening. Okay, go ahead, Smitty. I'm gonna let Smitty give out our socials.
On IG, no_repercussions, Twitter, @repercussions, and Facebook, Brunson and Smitty.
Thank you for that. So please hit us up. You got any comments, questions, you got an idea for the show, let us know. Again, thank you for listening, and check y'all out. Peace.